Okay, Dan, it is 8:31 in the morning, and we have a very, very special guest.
Well, Brad, we are so honored to have with us.
Truly honored.
Yep, Christopher Nixon Cox. He's a lawyer in New York City, also does some talk radio, writes for Newsmax.com. I like to read a lot of his material on Newsmax.com. He's also involved with a finance company that advises on capital raising strategies. Ran for Congress, worked in the John McCain presidential campaign, and is the grandson of the 37th President of the United States, Richard Nixon. Christopher Nixon Cox. Chris, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Great. Just trying to survive the storm.
Look, so you are also a talk show host. That's fabulous.
Yes, I've been doing some work on radio in New York. Yes, I have.
So, Chris, let's get right, first of all, to President Donald Trump, the phenomena of Donald Trump. When you were following Trump, let's say, in 2015, did you think that he would end up the president of the United States?
Well, I had a little bit of inside information. So I have to tell you, in 1987, my grandfather saw Donald Trump on TV and wrote him a note and said that, Donald, I know you personally. I just saw you on TV. You have such a great personality. You're going to win any election for any office you run for.
Wow.
And so in 1987, I had a little sneak peek. But I think that the real question in 2015 wasn't a question of whether Donald Trump could become president. It was a question of, did he really want the job? So I think that's what we were all trying to figure out then.
You know, again, when you think about the heavy hitters that have been after him in the mainstream media, but he just keeps going, and his ratings are up, and the everyday common people, they really love him.
You know, you're absolutely right, and I think that what the left and the media on the left especially doesn't get is the harder they hit him and the harder he hits back, the more President Trump supporters cheer, and the more the people who feel excluded by the elite, who feel run over by the elite, those people feel that they have a fighter in Donald Trump. And the harder he fights, the more they like him, and the better he does. So there's this strange relationship going on with him and the liberal media. The liberal media loves to attack him, and he loves to fight back, and they both seem to win. Because the liberal media gets high ratings, and Trump keeps going up in the polls. So I think it's a win-win for both of them.
Well, you know, Chris, I tell people that he really reminds me of George Steinbrenner when he owned the Yankees, and there was always chaos on the Yankees, but they thrived. And it seems as if President Trump enjoys the chaotic nature of his administration.
Well, you know, I think that you can't argue with success. And anyone who's become a multi-billionaire in this country, coming from Queens, New York, he's got to be doing something right. So I tell all my liberal friends, you know what, let's give him a chance, just see how he does, ignore the rhetoric. There's a lot of political media marketing strategy he has in his rhetoric that is well beyond my comprehension, but President Trump certainly understands what he's doing there. So look at the results. And the results are that the economy's booming. We may get 4% growth this year. Jobs are being created at a record clip, or they're being created very quickly. The economy's doing well. And then if you look overseas, you can see that in North Korea, we're defusing the situation. It looks like President Trump's pressure campaign with North Korea is actually working. So you look around the world, after a year, he isn't doing that bad. And if he keeps this up, he'll be in really good shape for re-election. So I tell all my liberal friends, give him a chance, look at the results, ignore the rhetoric.
Christopher Nixon Cox, our special guest. Are you going to run for office again?
You know, what I want to do right now is anything I can to help President Trump be a successful president. And for me, that's looking at different issues around the world, looking at some unusual places around the world, and helping him work through those issues. And I just want to serve my country however I can. And right now, I think that that's the best way.
What's your take on this issue involving the steel tariffs?
You know, people are up in arms about the steel tariffs. And I would say, look at what President Reagan did. He did something similar in the 1980s where he put tariffs on steel and everyone said it would be horrible.
Right.
And as I recall, the 1980s were a fantastic time for the United States economically. So I would say that clearly I don't think we should have a trade war. I think that would probably be bad. But I think that if the steel tariffs are done in an intelligent way, in a way, as Trump says, maybe in a loving way, I think that it'll end up that we'll stand up for ourselves, we'll protect our industries, but we'll move on and maybe not have a trade war, so maybe everyone can win.
Christopher, you mentioned somebody who I have great admiration for, President Reagan, and he did a lot of things when he was president that President Trump is doing now. And they used to criticize him the same way. But the people, and you hit it right on the head, the people loved him, the same as the people like Donald Trump.
You're 100% right. And I think that, just like President Reagan, President Trump understands what the common man wants. He understands what he needs to deliver, and he understands how to deliver that message. And whereas maybe he has a slightly different style than President Reagan, they're both speaking directly to the people. And I remember Michael Deaver and all of President Reagan's advisors told him, forget what the liberal media is doing. In fact, my grandfather told him the same thing. Forget about the liberal media. Just go out to the people and talk directly to the people. Now, President Reagan didn't have Twitter. President Trump has Twitter and a lot of followers. So he can talk directly to the people any moment he wants to and get a lot of attention for it. So I think that that's the advice that President Trump would follow as well. That's what he's doing. And I think that he can be just as successful as Reagan.
Chris, hang in there just a second. I know, Brad, we have a traffic update, and then we're back with our guest, Christopher Nixon Cox.
Okay, let's check and see how the bumper-to-bumper crowd is doing.
The Talk of Connecticut, Bouvier Insurance Traffic.
With most schools closed, we're seeing much lighter volume on the roads. No problem getting into Hartford on 8491 or Route 2. And we're seeing an easy ride through Waterbury on 84 and Route 8. No problems heading into New Haven. I'm Gary Lee Horn.
And 18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, a very special guest this morning, Christopher Nixon Cox, grandson of the 37th president of the United States, Richard M. Nixon.
Chris, I would be remiss, and I know people in our audience would want us to ask the question, what are some of your memories about your grandfather?
You know, I have great memories of my grandfather. Mostly when he passed away, I was 15 years old. So mostly they're memories of a grandson and a grandfather. So he lived in New Jersey, and I remember that I would play basketball with him. He'd come out to our basketball hoop, and we would shoot hoops together. I remember that very well. I remember going to Mets games with him. We would sit and watch the games, and he loved to sit with the people. He didn't like to sit in the boxes watching from up high. He didn't like to do that, watching the game from up high. He liked to be right down with the people watching the games. That's what he loved to do. But I really have a poignant memory. At the very end of his life, 3 weeks before he passed away, we were at his home in Park Ridge, New Jersey, and we were watching the World at War series. I don't know if you remember that series from the 1970s.
Yes.
30 hours of fantastic history on World War II. And as you know, my grandfather fought in the Pacific Theater. So I remember him, we watched one of the episodes on the Pacific, and in the war in the Pacific, and he would talk about being on Guadalcanal or being in the Solomon Islands, and how when he was on an island, he talked about how it was being bombed and what that felt like for him. And he talked about all the men he served with and the different experiences they had. He just talked about his history in World War II from a very personal perspective, not as a president of the United States talking about in political terms, but as just a grandfather talking to his grandson about what his experiences in World War II were like. And for me, I treasure those memories. And that was actually one of the last memories I have of my grandfather, because, of course, he went away to Russia very soon after in early April, and then had his stroke and passed away in mid to late April.
Of course, your grandfather was, I say, a great president, and was a great president, particularly in the arena of foreign policy. What do you think he would say today about what's going on with foreign policy with North Korea, with China, with the Middle East?
Well, he would say that the world that he was in the 20th century, the world today in the 21st century, is much different and in many ways much more difficult. Without having a second pole, the Soviet Union, for the United States to compete against and define itself against. It is a very difficult world that we're in today, and it is important that the United States stick to its values, the values of freedom in particular, and it would be very important that we focus and bring experts in and focus on these different areas where there are problems in the world. North Korea, you mentioned, is one of them. Clearly the solution to North Korea, President Trump has had a good one, an intense pressure campaign to reinforce to the North Koreans that this problem will not be solved well until they give up their nuclear weapons, and then we can have a discussion. And that's what the North Koreans seem to be going down the path of. So that very strong approach to North Korea seems to have worked. But my grandfather would also talk about Russia. And when he passed away, Boris Yeltsin was the president of Russia. Russia was on the path to democracy. But today, Vladimir Putin, an autocrat, is in power in Russia. And whereas the United States and Russia should be partners and working together in certain areas, such as terrorism in the Islamic world, Russia also has another agenda. And you need to look no farther than Venezuela, where Russia is exercising tremendous influence to sow chaos and to put a government in Venezuela that is anti-American so that they can remain a thorn in our side in our own hemisphere. That's also part of their strategy. And so we need to have a very strong approach when dealing with Russia. Work with them where we can, but also push back hard where they're pushing back against our interests. Because ultimately, the United States is a beacon of hope and freedom around the world, and we can't lose those values, and we certainly can't lose those values to an autocratic country like Russia.
Christopher Nixon Cox, grandson of the 37th president, our special guest here this morning. When you look at the country today and the changes that have been made in the last election, there were those who definitely didn't think that Donald Trump was going to win. However, he knew he was going to win.
Well, I don't know about that, but go ahead.
But I mean, I think in his heart he knew he was going to win. That, I mean, to listen to him. But the point being, there is a big change right now in the way government is being handled by him.
You're absolutely right, and there are big changes in our philosophy. What it means to work in government, and quite frankly, I think it's a healthy thing. Even if we talk about all this chaos and reorganization of different departments of the federal government, that might not be a bad thing. It might not be a bad thing to tear things up and bring in people who have a different way of thinking, a different way of doing things, maybe using less government, less regulation. That might not be a bad thing. And I think that when you've seen the economic growth that we've had over the past year, I think a lot of that is attributed to the fact that President Trump has been tearing out regulations in the federal government to allow businesses to actually do what they do best, which is to go out and sell things and hire people and make things. And that's what our businesses do well, and they do that best when they don't have the yoke of regulation hanging from their necks. So I think that President Trump understands that, and that may be, ironically, the most significant thing that he's contributed to the economy over the past year, even with the more famous tax cuts and things like that, which are great. It's really the cutting of the regulations that I think is truly spurring this economic growth.
Absolutely.
You know what's sad, though, and we're seeing it in Connecticut, Chris, where we are taxed to the hilt. There is an effort now to raise taxes, corporation taxes on the businesses in this state because they're getting this big break from the federal government. So it's almost as if in the high tax states, they're going after business because the federal government gave them a break.
And the amazing thing about that is that you look at politicians that want to raise taxes on businesses on a statewide basis, and you just can't understand why you want to do that. If you're a business and you're just looking, let's say, at Connecticut, an example you gave, and taxes are going to go up on businesses in Connecticut, well, it's very easy for those businesses to pick up and relocate to Florida or Texas or some other area where they have much lower state taxes. Why wouldn't the business do that? So when you're raising taxes, especially as a state, you're making it really easy to say to businesses, we don't want your jobs, just leave our state. And that's what businesses are doing in the Northeast. I'm from New York City, and I see the same problem all throughout upstate New York, throughout all of New York State. Businesses are leaving, and it's not good. Our populations in New York State are shrinking everywhere outside of New York City, and we have real problems, and raising taxes is not going to be the solution.
Now, your dad is the chairman of the Republican Party in New York State. What is the state of the GOP in New York?
The GOP in New York is surprisingly strong given the 2-1 Democratic registration advantage in the state. And the reason why is we actually have, I believe it's 9 congressmen from New York out of our 27 congressmen are Republicans. So we send a pretty large delegation to Washington that are Republicans, which is quite good. We also control the state legislature in New York in the Senate, in the upper chamber. That's controlled by Republicans. So we can put a little bit of a break on all the liberal policies that would happen in New York otherwise. So we actually have a pretty surprising foothold in New York, but it's always a tenuous hold. We've got to fight hard to hold on to our gains that we have. And then this year, of course, we have our elections, just like many other states, for governor and attorney general and other statewide offices. So we're just putting together our ticket, and we hope that this year is actually the year that we can win a couple of these statewide races, just for the reasons that you said. People are sick and tired of the taxes. They're sick and tired of the regulations. And in New York, almost 50% of the vote is actually upstate. It's not even the suburbs or New York City. It's upstate. And if we have a big turnout there, we actually have a good chance to win some of these elections.
Wow.
Now, Chris, I'm seeing it in Connecticut. I don't know about New York, but there's an effort by the Democratic Party in Connecticut, I believe, to try and suppress the Republican Party vote in several ways. I don't know if that's happening in New York State.
Well, it certainly happens in New York City a lot, but I think we're more worried about vote stuffing in New York City than vote suppression. Just from what I've heard, I remember back in the days of Rudy Giuliani, it was fascinating. In his first election, he was new to politics and didn't know how elections worked, and apparently voting machines would arrive preloaded with votes in a lot of these districts of vote, 500-1, Democrats or Republican. But then what they found out was is that if they just sent someone around before the election to inspect the machines, all of a sudden a lot of those machines that were 500-1 Democrat, Republican, all of a sudden at the end of the day when the voting happened would end up being like 150-1. So that actually ended up helping him a lot in his election. So, we're used to the shenanigans that go on, and we're certainly aware of them, and we'll do everything we can to stop the election from being unfair, and we'll make sure we have a fair election. One person votes once.
Well, what they're attempting to do here in Connecticut also is tie the Republicans who are running for office to everything bad about Donald Trump. And my point is...
And they're not getting away with it.
Well, they want the Republicans to run away from Trump, but I believe it would serve as an effort to suppress the Republican voters out there. They might not turn out and vote for a Republican if that Republican is running away from Donald Trump. What do you say about that?
Well, what I would say is that the issue of tying Republicans to Donald Trump, it's almost like throw me in that briar patch. If I'm a Republican running for office, I want to run on an economy that's growing at 4%. I want to run on peace abroad where we're defusing situations like in North Korea. I think that as long as Republicans get that message out, which is getting on your radio program and getting on other programs that can talk directly to the people, I think if that message gets out, then I think that's a bad strategy by the Democrats.
Wow. I want to tell you, you got to run for office.
Maybe I should move to Connecticut.
Yeah, maybe you should.
We'd welcome you. Just bring your wallet because it's pretty expensive to live in this state, too. Chris, so honored to have you on the program. And I urge people, by the way, to go to Newsmax.com and read your pieces, including that piece on Venezuela. But thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk again down the road.
Thank you so much. Look forward to doing that soon.
Great. And God bless America.
God bless America. Stay safe today.
You bet. You too.
Bet. Wow.
Grandson, 37th President of the United States, Richard M. Nixon, and that was Christopher Nixon Cox. Brad Field, following the news.